Broadcasting.
House State Affairs Committee can now come to order. The time is currently 3:16 p.m. on Thursday, February 5, 2026, and we are here in room 120. Please remember to silence your cell phones. Today we have members present, Representative St. Clair, Representative Holland, Representative Himshue, and myself, Chair Carrick. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Our record secretary is Andrew Giannotti, and our moderator from the Juno LIO is Kyla Tupo. Our committee aide for today's hearing is my staff, Stuart Relay. And we've also just been joined by Representative McCabe. Today on our agenda, we have two items, House Concurrent Resolution 9, celebrating the Declaration of Independence's 250th birthday, and House Bill 124 on the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, also known as ADA, from my office. We do only have 1 hour today, so the second half of our regular committee time will be utilized by the Department of Administration's Budget Subcommittee. And we will go ahead and start with the first item on our agenda today, House Concurrent Resolution 9, honoring America's semi-quinquennial. We heard this resolution on Tuesday, set an amendment deadline for Wednesday, February 4th at 5 p.m., which was yesterday, and received no amendments. I'm also going to recognize that Representative Vance has joined us. Is there any further discussion on House Concurrent Resolution 9? Seeing none, can I get a motion, Representative Himshue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the House State Affairs pass committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 9, also known as 34-LS1091/I, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Seeing and hearing no objection, House Concurrent Resolution 9, version I, has been passed from committee. I'd like to also just recognize that Vice Chair Story has just joined us. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry to be late.
And so the second and final item on our agenda today is House Bill 124 on ADA. This is our fifth hearing on this bill. Just for committee members' information, today is my intent to bring forth the committee substitute, have continued discussion. We do have Randy Roraro with ADA's executive director, and we also have Mark Davis, special counsel for ADA, available for questions. So bring this bill back forward for continued discussion for the remainder of our committee time today. And after adopting the committee substitute, bring this bill up again at the end of next week to consider additional member amendments and have a final discussion on the bill at that time. So what I'd like to do, just for members' information, is have a motion to adopt the committee substitute as our working document and object to that so we can have our office describe the changes to it. So Vice Chair Story, can I get a motion for the committee substitute?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the House State Affairs Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 124, also known as 34-LS0411/N, as our working document.
And I am going to object for discussion and ask my staff, Stuart Relay, to walk through the summary of changes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff for Representative Carrick. Madam Chair, committee members, the summary of changes for version N is as follows. In section 2, it removes the board designated seat for a person representing an environmental advocacy organization. In section 8, it increases the ADA revolving fund cap from $500 million to $3 billion. And also provides an inflation adjustment mechanism for that number. In Section 9, it increases the threshold for project approval from $10 million to $100 million and also provides an inflation adjustment mechanism. It also adds a requirement that an independent feasibility study be completed for each project over the threshold, and that contractor shall be approved by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Section 11 further amends AS 4488205 to specify that ADA is subject to the Executive Budget Act. It does not make any other changes to the section from the previous bill. Section 13 is the last section that has been changed. It changes the public records and public the public records requirements. Specifically, it has all new language specifying that the information in the possession of ADA is a public record. It further provides ADA the authority to adopt regulations to designate and withhold public disclosure information that is privileged and proprietary. That information includes personnel records and proprietary information relating to investment decisions. For members' information, the language in Section 13 relating to the public records of ADA is nearly identical to that for the Alaska Railroad Corporation. That is provided for members' attention in AS 4240220. Again, that's for the railroad. And also, just for members' information, this section requires the authority to adopt regulations. And earlier in this bill, in sections 4 and 6, it requires regulations to be adopted by resolution passed by the board. All the other sections, Madam Chair, are unchanged. And that is the summary of changes.
Thank you. And before we go to questions, I'd just like to offer a comment on the committee substitute that this new version is meant to try to juxtapose better between the discussion we had with ADA's executive director and the public comment and feedback. If members will recall back at the very initial presentation of House Bill 124, I had said my intent was to have a thorough committee discussion on that. That's still my goal here. And also to find a better balance between current operation and micromanaging ADA. And so this committee substitute, changing the thresholds, provides a tremendous amount of headroom from current valuation at about $1.7 billion up to $3 billion for the cap. And it also provides, as I said initially, you know, the definition of a smaller project moving from $10 million to $100 million provides a lot more latitude than the original version of the bill does. And so the other changes are also in response to some of the comments from ADA. For example, Section 13, the proprietary investment decision information should be private. It was not really my intent to not have that be to have that be disclosed originally. And so the changes to Section 13 are meant to hopefully provide ADA more direction for offering public information while keeping those privileged decision-making items as still being proprietary information. So those changes are, as the bill sponsor, the attempt to better juxtapose these two competing interests. And happy to take questions. My staff is also happy to take questions. Representative McCabe.
Yeah, thanks. I'm curious why we used, the Alaska Railroad isn't, they don't make loans, so they're not a public financial instrument. Why did we use their language instead of like AHFC or somebody that actually does handle loans and handle proprietary information for the public records?
Representative McCabe, I think that it was just a comparison tool, but we can look at what the AHFC requirements are just as another comparison. And I think the point is well taken about a corporation that provides loans versus a state corporation that doesn't.
Okay. Thanks. And I know that they can do, it says in there that they can do regulations, and I get that. It's probably a smart thing to do if we go forward to have them able to redact certain information that's private. The second question, if you don't mind, follow up is for Mr. Davis. Mm-hmm. And I am wondering, he is sort of the bond and the financial guru. And I've talked to Mr. Davis before about ADA things and bonding things. And I'm wondering what he thinks of these changes. And maybe now's not the time. Maybe the next time we run this, he could have a cogent response. But I'm really curious to see if he thinks these changes would be as egregious is the wrong word, but limiting is a better word, to ADA as the original bill was, or if this is some form of a compromise on in his opinion.
We'll go to Mr. Davis, and also just note that Mr. Ferraro and Mr. Davis are more than welcome to join us for further committee discussion as well. So if you don't have responses to questions about the committee substitute today, I think we fully understand and are happy to invite you back again. But Mr. Davis, if you have a comment.
My name is Mark Davis. I'm special counsel to ADA. In response to Representative McCabe's question, we just got this bill recently, and I cannot give you a full comment, but the one thing I could tell you is the, for example, the limit been raised from $10 million to $100 million. Is that better? Yes. But is it good enough? No. Let me give just a quick concrete example. And we were approached by the YK Kuskokwim Hospital Clinic when that legislature was out of session to provide $169 million in short-term capital to get that hospital built. The reason for that was the hospital, through no fault of their own, had lost their construction loan. So we floated loan anticipation notes within a matter of months, and the hospital got built. If we had to go to the legislature, and that's over $100 million, then we would have not been able to finance that project. And there were other projects of a similar size. So essentially, ADA often functions as a gap capital organization in a counter-cyclical economic environment, and this bill is incompatible with that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative, I wasn't taking a cue, but Representative Himshute, then Holland.
Thank you, through the chair. I wanted to go to the speaker that we just had with my question, through the chair. So that example from Bethel is certainly compelling. Is there a way to maintain a certain amount of short-term capital for the situation you described, while sticking within the confines of this bill for other projects? I mean, is there a way to, so to speak, split the baby?
Representative, through the chair, let me respond two ways. First, making ADA under the entire Executive Budget Act would essentially make our decisions subject to appropriation, and therefore we wouldn't be able to move accounts or move as quickly as I just said. So there's really no way to give ADA the flexibility it needs at times under the Executive Budget Act. We provide capital quickly. And the other thing we do is we respond to business cycles. For example, in 2008, when there was a financial crisis, the ADA loan participation program had to work pretty quickly to get loans out to businesses that were facing a lack of capital elsewhere. And we did that. Again, with the structures in this bill, with the reporting requirements and being subject to appropriation, I don't think that would be possible.
Follow up. Thank you. I don't know if this question is for the bill sponsor or for the individual online, Mr. Davis, I think. What are examples of projects that would be captured in the $100 million limit that were not captured in the $10 million? And what are examples of projects that would not be captured in the $100 million?
Representative, to the chair, right now I don't have a full list of ADA projects in front of me, so I'm really not able to give you that, but we'd be happy to try to provide you with that information.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to invite my staff back up, too, in case there's questions for our office as the bill sponsor. I'll go, I think, next to Representative Holland, and then if Mr. Relay can think of or can pull up the list of projects that we have access to with over and under $100 million, just to give a couple examples while we're doing that. Representative Holland.
Great. Thank you, through the chair. And I think you're addressing my first question regarding the $100 million, because I think it addresses the question that I raised at the last hearing asking for the pipeline of projects so that we could see what was in that pipeline, and that might give us some idea of things that are $10 million versus things that are $100 million, what that affects. So looking at that will be helpful to do that. Mm-hmm. I would just note that one of the options we might explore regarding this question is the role of LBNA of being able to help out with these emergency situations that have come up. That was an idea that came up earlier, because we don't necessarily need to think of the legislature approving something as waiting until we're back in session and going through the full process. If there was some authority that was vested in the legislature through a committee that has authority to act at any time when we're not in session, as they have been very actively with the gas pipeline project doing that. I was curious, though, just for some clarification on the dollar amounts going on here. The current capitalization of ADA is about $1.7 billion. You're going to three. I'm curious, you know, where that number might have come from, if there's some thought about the question that is in statute about making sure ADA has enough money. That's clearly laid out that they have to assess that and have to tell us whether or not there's errors. Is this based upon a thought on what they should have according to statute? And then on the $100 million, kind of a related question, if there was any thought on that number. And I'm raising it in particular because there were some $50 million transactions that were proposed that were pretty controversial in terms of what was the process and the engagement of those $50 million proposed projects that they had done. And if I were relating to the constituents and the feedback I had gotten looking for a dollar amount, it would have been at $49 million or something to have swept up some of those other projects. So kind of curious about those two numbers in terms of your thoughts on where those numbers have come from and how we might view the decision to propose those.
Yeah, I suppose I'll respond first, Representative Holland. Both the $3 billion and $100 million are somewhat arbitrary. It was just an attempt for our office to provide ADA with plenty of headroom. So it's nearly double what they currently have in assets. And so to Representative McCabe's points about a fire sale taking place, wanted to fully prevent that happening in the anywhere in the near future or ever, because if you provide enough headroom, you provide the opportunity to plan. And there are no projects in the billion-dollar range being proposed for ADA to invest in right now. So there's nothing pending that would go above that cap in any near-term future. And so that was why I decided to effectively double what they have in current assets and use that as a cap number. And I agree with you about the potential and even likelihood that some projects at $50 million or $49 million or $51 million could also be relatively controversial, and that may be a good number. So I'm open to where we put that threshold. I'm especially open to the idea and would consider it friendly to really specify that LBNA constitutes legislative approval. It doesn't have to be the entire legislature. The point is to have better dialogue and communication with people that are making wraparound funding and economic decisions in the legislature. So essentially involving more policymaking consultation with some of this large scale economic development that goes forward. And I wanted to address one other point there, which is that the public testimony requirements and public engagement requirements are unchanged in this committee substitute. And so I see that as a way to ensure we're having that additional dialogue with the public. So a project could be controversial at $5 million, $10 million, $50 million, or it could be controversial at a higher threshold. But this is where the public engagement requirements in the bill, I think, help to alleviate some of that concern. I think the real concern for the state is where we have very large dollar amounts that the state is often also investing in other wraparound ways. And so that's $100 million seems, and adjusted to inflation, seems like a much better place to consider a large enough dollar threshold for a legislature to be more involved if that helps answer questions.
Yeah, I've got a follow-up.
All right. Let's go to the follow-up, and then I'd like to go back to Mr. Relay to help add more context to Rep. Himshute's question and then to Rep. McCabe.
All right, thanks. And I wanted to follow up on the other item here related to the Executive Budget Act. I just wanted to note that I think it's really helpful that you've brought this in because – and I just also want to clarify from what I've learned that ADA always was subject to the Executive Budget Act. There was some uncertainty about the extent to which it was exposed in terms of operating versus capital budget. So this change, I think, is a valuable one to provide some clarity. I don't know if there's anything more you want to offer as a sponsor about the thought on this addition or change. If not, that's fine. It caught my attention. It was a valuable addition.
Representative Holland, it was just a requested way to possibly change. And I also agree that there's value in having more subjugation with the Executive Budget Act. So it was, I don't really have any additional comment there.
Perfect.
Mr. I almost called you representative. Mr. Riley, do you have any commentary on just maybe providing a couple of example projects that are above and below, say, 50 and 100 million, mm-hmm. if possible?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff to Representative Carrick. So the information I'll be referencing is from slide 16 from your slide deck. It's the map we've seen in previous presentations as well, and kind of just says what types of loans ADA has given out. I would note the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation was $162 million. As Representative McCabe has pointed out, the Interior Gas Utility Project, which has been really important for Fairbanks, that was $139 million. Projects in the $50 million range, ADA's done some work with Cook Inlet Gas. Blue Crest Energy was $32 million. Hex was $50 million in the Cook Inlet. Just one more larger project, Chief Andrew Isaac Health Center, was $249 million. So, again, this information came from slide 16 here, and happy to answer any additional questions on that.
Thank you. I'm going to go back to Representative Himshute if you have a follow-up.
Yeah, thank you through the chair. Mr. Relay, were any of those approved, to your knowledge, under an emergency situation like the hospital in Bethel?
That would be a question for ADA. I unfortunately don't have that information.
Thank you.
All right. So I have Representative McCabe next.
Thanks. So a couple questions. First, hopefully the fiscal note for the CS is forthcoming, the new fiscal note for the CS?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for that. And as far as the Executive Budget Act, if we're going to do that, then let's do the railroad. Let's do all of the corporations that the state owns and put them all under the Executive Budget Act. So there's a reason that ADA is not under the Executive Budget Act, and there's a reason that the Alaska Railroad is also not under the Executive Budget Act. So if we're going to do that for one, then we should probably be treating all of our state corporations the same way. Just sort of a opinion, maybe, but I think that there's a reason we didn't do that with ADA, and there's a reason we didn't do it with the railroad.
Don't have a comment to that, but appreciate
the
comment. I'm going to go to Representative St. Clair, and then we'll go back around for round two. Also, just process-wise, we made a motion to adopt a committee substitute. I objected for discussion. Happy to continue discussion here, but maybe after this next question we can...
You can skip me, and we can adopt it and then talk about it.
I just don't want to forget to do that today, so... I'm going to remove my objection to adopting the committee substitute. Are there any additional objections? Seeing and hearing none, the committee substitute, known as version N, is our working document. Now we can feel free to continue discussion. Representative St. Clair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Specifically going to Section 13, I saw a lot of the testimony, the public testimony, and this is more of a rhetorical question slash comment than anything else. And they, a lot of the public testimony said there wasn't transparency. The agents, Ada told us they were giving them 2 minutes, but a point of contention was that Ada wasn't doing a back and forth with them, responding to their questions. We don't do that. So if that's setting a new standard, then that's also going to have to apply to us. It's a point of contention because I get frustrated too when I ask questions and they say, yep, and move on to the next one. But that's just how we do it. And if I can have a follow-up real quick.
Sure, follow-up.
Number five. What is the significance in, Mr. Relay, you may be able to answer this. Section five, what is the significance of this? It adds Sue or
For the record, Stuart Relay, staff representative Carrick, representative St. Clair. Section 5 is conforming language relating to Section 14. Section 14 relating to the Attorney General's approval of lawsuits.
Okay. One more follow-up. I've been quiet most of the day.
You're doing great.
Thank you. Through the chair, is that standard language?
Section 14, to my knowledge, I don't believe so.
One more follow-up. Going to Representative McCabe's point, are we going to do this for all the other corporations? If we're specifically, singling out ADA for this, we shouldn't be doing that. And if we are going to make changes to ADA, it needs to be pushed across the board to all the other corporations. Thank you.
I think points well taken, Representative St. Clair and Representative McCabe bring up good points, valid points about parity with other state corporations. I will just note, I am open to those conversations about other state corporations. The reason this is a bill that specifically has the single subject ADA as opposed to all state corporations is in direct response to the scope of the work ADA is doing and the public desire for a lot greater transparency and engagement. And we have that with the railroad. I know the very next thing that would come up is, why doesn't the railroad do more of this? Point well taken. I mean, I do think that there is a desire for a lot of our state corporations to have additional transparency and openness. Given the nature of some of ADA's investment decisions, that's why this is the bill before you and not one that's directly related to the Housing Finance Corporation or another state corporation. I'll go to Representative St. Clair, then back to Representative McCabe.
Is there any thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any specific instance or investment that was made by ADA that is inappropriate or wrong? I mean, we're talking about they're not doing things right, but we really can't put our finger on what they haven't done right. I mean, the transparency, I got that. But that's been cleared up. And then with the Attorney General – parity across the board. So I'm just trying to find out specifically if there is a project or an investment that they made that we are saying, no, you shouldn't have made that. That was a bad decision. I mean, we're bringing the stick before the carrot. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative St. Clair. You know what I would say is I'm not bringing this legislation forward in response to any particular project. And I would tell you if I was. I do have a lot of constituents, very transparently, that are very concerned about projects like Ambler Road. Other people's constituents are very concerned about West Sioux access. I'm not bringing this legislation forward in direct response to either of those two projects or any other specific project, but there is a trend over time for as long as I've worked in the legislative world and as long as I've known of ADA that ADA has an opacity to it, which people find very off-putting. And a lot of these investment decisions do impact the state's investment decisions. And so that's where I do feel like the concerns are very valid. In general, I think about a project like Ambler Road. I'm actually neutral on that Ambler Road project personally. I don't have a strong position in favor of or opposed to it. But whatever decision ADA makes on investing in a project of that or similar scale is going to have economic, social, environmental, and other downstream impacts on what the state will do. So that's really where this legislation motivation originally comes from, and it remains my motivation through the process.
Thank you.
So hopefully that adds to it. Representative McCabe.
Thanks. Yeah, there are some projects that ADA has invested in that have not done real well, and typically they are because we got involved in them. Matt Made Milk. I mean, there I could list off a dozen of them, but it every single time it's because we put our fingers in the pie, like we are doing right now. So let's put the big elephant in the room right on the table right now. We are doing this to prevent ADA from investing in projects that might have an eco or an environmental issue with some people. ADA is here. The reason they're here is to invest in money-making corporations that will make a return for ADA, or that will create jobs, or that will help with resource development. It's not here to hug the fish and kiss the trees and everything else. That we have an EPA to do that. We have a Department of Environmental Conservation. We have departments and permitting processes to do that. Killing ADA because they might fund a project that might harm a tree somewhere is the wrong way to do this. Sorry, it is. I don't like this bill. I'll never like this bill. I think it needs to be buried as deep as we can possibly bury it. I'm sorry, Ashley. I know your heart's in the right place, but you don't kill a project before it even gets started without running through the environmental process. That's why we have an EPA.
We generated a lot of comments there. I'm just going to note that Representative McCabe, you're more than entitled to your opinion on my motivations for this bill. But the motivations I just stated to Representative St. Clair are the actual motivations. I'm not here to prevent economic development or resource development. But I am here to respond to constituents who want more involvement in that process, more transparency around that process. And they want the legislature to make policy decisions related to these projects ADA's investing in a more informed manner. And so that is actually my motivation here.
So do you mind if I respond?
Sure.
Okay. So I was in front of the Mat-Su Assembly once listening to discussion about the West Susitna Access Road. And Representative Sumner, former Representative Sumner, who was an assemblyman there, said something that I found pretty profound, and even more profound now that I actually know him, right? He said, it is a mistake to shut down. It sends a poor message that Alaska is not open for business if we shut down projects at this level. We have an environmental permitting process where the public has ample opportunity to make comment. I told you the other day, I've been to 20 plus, maybe 30 open meetings that ADA has advertised for West Susitna Access and various projects that they've had. So just because we have a bunch of folks that feel like they have not been heard, do they feel like they've not been heard because they haven't gone or because ADA hasn't responded to them? ADA has a mandate, and I think that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They have ample opportunity to comment with the EPA, the NEPA, the environmental assessment. There are 100 ways to comment right now. It's a mistake to send a message to the world that we are willing to shut down projects before they even get to that point. We need these projects. We need resource development. So let's push them forward to the point where they no longer make environmental sense, if you will. And then if we need to shut them down, then we need to shut them down. But why send a message to businesses, to small businesses, that we're going to put somebody on the board or we're going to limit ADA to shut down these projects? To me, it doesn't make financial sense in any manner. So sorry. And I wasn't critiquing you. I know you're responding to your constituents, and I think your heart is absolutely in the right place. But I have a huge problem with the way we're going about this right now.
Thank you. We'll go to Representative Vance and then Vice Chair Story.
Thank you. Well, I yelled at him before committee, so
she did.
And I told him I wasn't done with them yet. So I do have questions. Chair Carrick, I have constituents who have been on the end of the side of not feeling that there's transparency, of being a part of that process with Ada, where they are on the phone waiting to be able to speak for hours on end. I think my mayor may have been a part of lawsuit. People feel very, very strongly about this. However, my district is also very much pro resource development and building our economy in a way that meets the requirements that we have set a strong standard fully for that. I'm willing to work with you on this bill, but I need to have, like, there's still some things that I have trouble with the CS. So on Section 8, which is limiting the value of the funds in the accounts, yes, you put a really high threshold on there, but why limit them at all? Because, I'll start with that single question. On this section, why do you feel that it's necessary to have a cap at all on what they do? Because in that could be communicated as we want to cap economic investment in our state. And I don't think that's what you're wanting to communicate. So do you have a justification for why you kept a limit in the bill?
Thank you, Representative Vance. I think there's twofold things here. One is a cap sends a message that we are going to take a look at that should Ada's valuation get up to that cap. So in some ways it acts as though it's a sunset date in a sense. So it's a chance for, should we reach that cap and Ada's doing remarkable things and we really love everything Ada's working on, or maybe we don't, but we really like that Ada has grown so much. It offers an opportunity to come back and adjust the cap. So I could see that happening in the future. But secondly, I think on a broader scale, I've asked the question to myself, what role is Ada in the state's entire economic development picture? Do we want Ada to be kind of this wild, wild west territory that some people feel where they can grow and grow and grow and there's no limit to that? Are there investment decisions currently a measure of economic development overall? Or are they just a part of that decision-making? I think there's a lot of organizations and businesses in the state that are doing economic development. Ada is but one of them, and they are one of the most powerful and one of the most broad and sweeping economic development organizations. But they're not the end-all be-all. So I think, in my opinion, a cap helps to provide a little bit of sidebar around how much Ada's role is a part of the conversation around the entirety of economic development. But I could see where others would disagree about having a cap at all. And I think those are valid considerations.
Follow up?
Sure.
So in that same section, it says the amount of unexpended and unobligated money would be lapsing into the general fund. So this to us seems like a simple mechanism. However, this could, in my mind, can completely hamstring their money that is set aside and invested specifically for economic development. And then it's going to be plopped into the state general fund. I think that would divert it from its purpose. So is there a reason that you specifically put that information in there? Because I think that takes a very different turn than just putting a cap.
Representative Vance, I think part of it too is just to prevent the fire sale discussion that we had about we're just going to have to divest tremendous amounts of assets to get underneath the cap. The reason why that language is in there is so that Ada has opportunity to prepare well into the future, I would imagine, between their current valuation and $3 billion cap in this committee substitute. But should they have an investment that, say, goes a few hundred thousand over that or even a couple million over that, there's a mechanism to at least capture that so that those funds aren't preventing an investment decision per se. So if you had like a $40 million project and you were going to go over the cap by $1 million or $2, it wouldn't require ADA to just not invest in that decision, if that makes sense. So that was kind of there as a protection mechanism against one singular project pushing them right over the threshold and having no way to capture that valuation. But again, very open to discussion about how to tweak that, improve it.
I appreciate the response. It just looks like every year that this would have to happen. I think applying it to realistic investment decisions don't happen within a calendar year. They take years. We've seen that with the LNG project, right? It's a long-term thing. And for ADA to make a commitment to invest, because that's what it would have to obligate the funds for, that may kind of get them ahead of their skis if they're having to do it within the calendar year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just looking at the practical application of that and not wanting to hamstring them from making wise investment decisions versus, we need to put that in here so that we don't lose it, right, for that next fiscal year. The next question that I have, if I may, is on Section 9, Project Oversight, which is a full page of the oversight. And you mentioned that earlier about how much you want the legislature to have oversight. But then on the very last line of that section, page 5, line 3, it says, obtain legislative approval by law. We have the power of the legislature is the power of the purse. And we're called upon to be experts in a lot of things that we are definitely not. And just like this is going to be dicey, so bear with me. The legislature created the Board of Fish to make allocative decisions because we shouldn't be making allocative decisions over the fishery, because that in itself is a full-time job. It involves so much data, so much public engagement, and it involves people's ability to feed their families, sustain their families with income, so many things, right? And it feels like we have created ADA, the legislature created ADA, in a similar vein to be able to make investment decisions, to have people who understand that field full time to do that. And so by having this level of project oversight, to me feels like it would be a burden on us that would go beyond the scope of what we're already mandated to do. And especially, I think it would further politicize projects that are meant to invest in Alaska. So can you help me? I mean, this is a full page. It's a lot of material here on oversight, and especially the last line, legislative approval by law. If there are so many moving pieces on projects that they need, why would we want everything to be approved by law? Because then our law books are going to fill up very, very quickly. And if there's a project that's important in my district, why would I want the politics of a different region weighing in on something that isn't going to impact their community in the same way? For instance, my community feels very differently about all of the aspects of the fishery than Representative McCabe's community does. My community would tell his to stay out of our business. And
they do.
And they do. And I think I feel like that would complicate this process that should be a business investment economy type of decision. Am I making sense here? So can you walk us through more details about this level of oversight? Because the other provisions of the bill that create the accountability, the transparency, I can get on board with. But this, I think, is going to further complicate really the intent of ADA and ultimately what could keep things moving for us that builds our economy.
Yeah, thank you so much for the comments, Representative Vance. I guess hearing everything you've just said, I would be pretty open to the idea of removing the last two words by law, and having it be, and maybe changing the language on legislative approval there. But to Representative Holland's point earlier, the committee substitute says we're going to have an independent feasibility study by a contractor approved by legislative budget and audit, so that there's a little bit of communication happening there. I think that level of communication and oversight is really essential, but I'm not necessarily all of these things that are on page four of the bill are super important for the legislature on these. However, we've defined large, which now we've defined it as over 100 million in this committee substitute. I think it's really important that there be another entity taking a look at that. And the legislature has to make a lot of, again, wraparound decisions related to these larger investments and policy decisions that are impacting those projects. But I would be open to working on how that works and how formalized that process is, if that makes sense. So in my mind, having an interim committee like Legislative Budget and Audit able to act on doing some of the items on page four and doing some of the oversight that's listed in section nine is the critical piece there. Putting it in statute is not necessarily as critical of a piece if we've specified how that's going to work, if that makes sense. So I would be open to the feedback.
Follow up. So it sounds like the size of the project has been determined by the dollar amount. And how did you come to the conclusion to use a dollar amount? Because in my mind, a large project where the legislature obviously wants to have a say is, for instance, the Alaska LNG, which we did have a say years ago before you and I got this job. Because the LNG runs through the entirety, almost the entirety of the state, right? Obviously, that's a big project where maybe the legislature should be able to be more engaged in those decisions. How did you come to the decision to using a dollar amount versus geography?
Good question, Representative Vance. Sorry, I got a note while you were asking that question. I think that's also why the committee substitute has the adjusted for inflation language, because I consider 100 million to be, and many of the people I've spoken with and interacted with regarding this legislation consider that to be a good valuation of what a large project is versus a smaller project. But of course, in context, 100 million is not very much for the gas line. And yet a project as large as that, or anything over 100 million, in my opinion, would still constitute a large project. So I'd have to think more about why not do it by a different metric. I think $100 million and using a dollar figure is something that we can wrap our brains around in this building. It's something the public can wrap their brains around, as opposed to trying to have different, if the suggestion is if we should have different valuations for different regions. But also, again, wasn't really something that I'd considered.
Well, you know, used to be $3.75 for a good, you know, espresso. Now it's $7.50 or $10 by the time you tip. So, you know, I have a lot of reservations on us basing policy based on dollar figures. Mm-hmm. Our budget obviously is around that in our limitation. But when we're talking about this, I think the Port of Nome, was 200 million, if I remember correctly. Now, these resource guys might know the more recent number on that. Very important project. I think we passed a resolution as a legislature a number of years ago in support of that. and with getting federal dollars for that. But as far as do I think the legislature needs to have direct oversight of that project, that doesn't feel like it's my district is going to be like, oh my goodness, you need to make sure that you have the pulse on this, right? So that, for example, would blow past your limit. Important project to the state, but it's not as impacting as many communities, right? Directly. And that's why I ask about looking at it from a geographic standpoint of whether our constituents would want our oversight on something, based on how it's going to be impacting our communities. So I think that might be a more thoughtful approach and have a greater justification to have the legislature engaged is more geographic. You know, like I have not made comments on the West Lucinda Access Road because it's long ways from my district. It's very important to development and things like that, right? But I've decided to let the representatives there be able to interface with their constituents on that issue. But there's obviously larger projects like the LNG where people are saying, hey, what do you know about this? So I appreciate your openness to get this figured out. But just trying to understand, you know, how you came to the decisions for these things. I will leave it, the rest of it for now. But those were kind of the main ones with the CS that I had questions about and just kind of understanding the direction that you wanted to go because my district would be very pleased if we made a clear process for the transparency and that engagement. I want to make it clear, I do not want to slow down Ada's ability to invest into our communities and economic development that builds our economy. But I also want them to have the responsibility to tell their story. What are they doing? And why are they doing it? And be proud of it. Because I think the public feeling that there's a type of secrecy is where we've had a lot of the issues. I know that they have to go into executive committee out of privacy over a lot of the information that they have. Respect that 100%. But I feel like they haven't done as good of a job in interfacing with the public that makes them feel like they have a fuller understanding of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I know that they made positive changes with our friend over there with Miss Edra. I'm hearing really good things that she has increased that engagement, but we also don't want their future to be based on one really good employee. We want it to be based on the policies that they have to abide by so that they continue that culture. So thank you for letting in the indulgence of my questions.
Thank you, Representative Vance. And just to reiterate, too, you know, I am really open to additional conversation. The committee substitute, I think, is my best attempt to reflect the testimony we've heard from the public and from Ada and kind of start the conversation from a new point A for the coming week. We have a couple more. I think we have at least one more question in the queue. We only have about 5 minutes left. Vice Chair Story.
Thank you, Chair Carrick. I appreciate all the comments and the dialogue that we've had so far. I know that when I think of my constituents and when I read our letters that we've gotten from the public, and we've gotten quite a few of them, they're from all around the state. I mean, I know and I believe all of us at this table want to have economic development happening in Alaska. But I know that we also want everyone to think that the agencies that we work with that are part of us are transparent and the public gets the correct information. And we've had a history of that not happening in various state organizations and projects that we've done, whether it's been capital projects and projects at ADA. People want to have more information. So I appreciate the intent of building something here in this bill that gives the public, you know, the insurance that there is transparency, due diligence, and that there's a wide variety of committed people to the state of Alaska who serve on the board. And so when I look at your attempts to do that, Chair Carrick, with the appointments of people to the board, the staggered three-year terms, the different bylaw adoptions. When I look at the public comments, I had a couple of questions just based on being a school board member when there's, and certainly here in education and other committees, when there's been a topic of great interest and a variety of opinions on it, you get a lot of information. People want to testify, but usually when we've had like 60 people in the room, we limit it to under 2 minutes. We adjust it to a minute or something. And so saying here it has to be not less than 2 minutes sort of gives me pause, not saying that I don't want to have that everyone to have what they would like to say on the record. I just know that we unfortunately aren't able to always hold to 2 minutes, and we make adjustments. And so I was just making a note to look at what we have done, what are our regulations for us, because we, you know, want people to be commenting to us all the time. And so anyway, I wanted to look at that with the published written responses to the public. Last hearing, I had said, I think it's really important that when people write in, one way they feel heard and that we're transparent if they're all published up on the whatever site the entity has, that letters that people have taken the time to write that they, because otherwise I don't know, did they get them? Did some members of the, you know, entity get them or not? So, I mean, when I look at this bill, to me, the intent of this bill is to make sure that there are, there's confidence level in what we are, the information that we're getting, from the entity, and that's what we're working towards. So there's a few things I'm going to look at, and the transparency things, and I just really appreciate the discussions that have come up today.
Thank you, Vice Chair Story. Yeah, I really appreciate the discussions too. I know that everyone around this table doesn't agree about where ADA is at currently or with the legislation where it's at currently, but this legislation is an attempt to start a discussion that I know we will continue next week. And just for members' information, it is my intention that we will spend our Thursday hearing next week on nothing but this bill and amendments to this bill. I know that there's probably going to be amendments generated, so that's my intention. And we will see where those discussions take us. But I'm looking forward to that discussion and continued dialogue. And I just want to note, too, a couple of really quick things. To the comments about we're hamstringing ADA with this bill, I think it's really important to say that that's a difference of interpretation. I know that a lot of people feel that way, and I'm not going to discount their concerns about it. But this legislation doesn't say that projects will not go forward. It puts sidebars on ADA and its scope, but it doesn't say we're going to wholesale prevent projects. I get that folks do have opinions that that will be the effect of it, but just want to be clear that the legislation is not saying that. Projects can still go forward. There's just additional process there. I also just wanted to highlight that, again, this bill is not meant to say that ADA is useless or should stop existing. If I wanted to introduce that bill, I could have. I didn't introduce that bill. ADA has had a cumulative economic impact of $55.4 billion in its 60 years of existence. That's noteworthy. And even though I do have a lot of constituents that would maybe prefer economic development take place through everything but ADA, I don't necessarily feel that way. When you look at the loan participation programs that ADA has, and you look at some of their smaller development and local development, it seems very clear to me that ADA serves a valuable role in Alaska, and I'd like it to continue. So I just wanted to get those intents on the record as we continue the discussion. And I look forward to the amendments. So at this time, I am setting an amendment deadline for House Bill 124 for next Wednesday, February 11th at 5 p.m. Please get your amendments to our office by then or communicate with our office if you are still waiting for amendments to come back from Ledge Legal as soon as possible. And as a reminder, please have amendments drafted to the now current version N. So that concludes our business for today. Our next hearing is on Tuesday, February 10th at 3:15 p.m. here in room 120. Currently, our agenda is as follows. We will take up House Bill 250 on peace officer face masks from Representative Hannon. We will then take up House Bill 180 on digital driver's licenses by the governor's administration. And then House Bill 130 on state employee flexible time credit from Representative Josephson. All for first hearings, but we will have our full 2 hours. And with nothing else on the agenda, we are adjourned at 4:16 p.m.